Hello again. Well, you know, summer's almost here. It's getting hot. So how about a cool story? How about a story about penguins? Well, there was once a truck driver who was hauling a load of 500 penguins to the zoo. Unfortunately, his truck broke down. But fortunately, he was able to wave down another truck driver, and he offered the driver of that truck $500 to take the penguins to the zoo. Well, later on that day, the first truck driver got his truck all fixed, and he drove into town, and he couldn't believe his eyes. Just ahead of him, he saw the second truck driver crossing the street with the 500 penguins waddling behind him in single file. Well, he jumped out of his truck and he ran up to the guy and he said, "What's going on? I gave you $500 to take these penguins to the zoo." The man responded, "Well, I did take them to the zoo, but I had enough money left over, so now we're going to the movies." Now, clearly, that guy didn't fully understand his assignment. He didn't understand the command that he had received. And don't you know? There are plenty of disciples of Jesus who are somewhat fuzzy about the command that Jesus gave to his disciples too. And so as we continue our series on discipleship, we're going to take a look at the command of discipleship. And think, oh, okay, so what does that mean? Well, it means that we're going to talk about our God-given mission and commission as disciples of Jesus. Now, having been here in Orangevale almost 13 years, I think that we all know what our goal and mission is as disciples of Jesus. Well, some of us might be very, very clear on what we're supposed to be accomplishing for Christ. There may be some who aren't so sure. And so today's message is both meant to inform and to reinforce our mission and commission as disciples of Christ. Think about it. If we don't know what our command and mission is, then we'll just end up with a lot of spiritual activity that may be good and all, but it doesn't necessarily move us forward toward fulfilling the real mission of Jesus. Now, the thing is, it really isn't all that hard to find out what the real command of discipleship is. All we've got to do is look at what Jesus' mission was and what he said that his disciples' mission was, and there you go. And so when it comes to Jesus' mission, Jesus told us plainly that the reason he came was to seek and to save the lost in Luke 19:10. And when it comes to you and me as his disciples, Jesus first hinted rather strongly at the mission for his disciples when he first called the fishermen, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. And he told them that he was going to make them fishers of men, or mankind, or people, right? And that's over in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19. But it's the last words of Jesus over in Matthew chapter 28 when he clearly states the command of discipleship. There in Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 19, Jesus tells his disciples to go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. Now, I think it's important for us to see that the imperative in this sentence, in this passage, in verse 19, is make disciples. That's the imperative. The imperative is the verb make disciples and not the verb go. And so that means that a better possible translation here might be, as you are going, make disciples. Or wherever you go, make disciples. Okay, so what does Jesus tell us here is the command for his disciples? Well, simply put, it's to make other disciples of Jesus from people who aren't disciples. And that's the command and mission of Jesus' first disciples. And it's also the command and mission for you and me as Jesus' disciples today. Now, let's go back and carefully notice that the command to make disciples involves two things: baptizing them and teaching them to obey all things. Okay, so baptizing them, right? That represents the work involved in bringing the lost into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. In other words, to help them to believe in Jesus and be baptized. And teaching them to observe all that Jesus has commanded represents the work involved in helping the new disciples grow and live faithful lives in Jesus Christ. Now, on our church bulletin, put there long before I ever came here, is our mission statement. And it reads, to know God, obey His will, and exalt Jesus as Savior, so that all may be transformed by His Spirit into a loving family, serving the world with His good news. And that mission statement really mirrors the one that Jesus gave us here in Matthew 28. And is the mission that I am trying to follow and obey, and is the one that I'm trying to help all of us to follow and obey. Now, while it's true that Jesus spoke this command to the apostles in Matthew chapter 28, the command and mission to baptize and teach wasn't just for the apostles. And how do we know that? Well, the answer is right there in verse 20. Because when Jesus commanded them to make disciples and then teach them to obey everything that Jesus commanded them, embedded in the teaching everything is the perpetuating mission to go and make disciples. And so the apostles were to make disciples who were to teach others to make disciples, who would then teach others to make disciples, and so on and so on and so on, all the way down to you and me, and that becomes our mission too. And so until Jesus returns, this is what the church is supposed to be doing: making disciples who make disciples. Think about it. Some people think that the command of discipleship is just for, I don't know, preachers or missionaries or evangelists, but the truth is, it's for all disciples. Now, that said, you know, not every disciple will be involved in disciple making in the same ways. That's because all of us have different gifts, talents, and personalities. But still, all of us, as disciples of Jesus, are expected to be engaged in the carrying out of the command of discipleship, to make disciples who make disciples. And I know that that almost sounds like we're on an endless loop as we keep going through this, right? But it's really important for us to understand what our real mission is and to focus on it, because, you know, there are so many other good things that can be substituted as the main mission for disciples of Jesus. Think about it. You know, there have been so many, many things that we have not been commanded to do or commissioned to do as disciples of Jesus, but are really good things for the church to do. Things like, I don't know, building wells in Africa or something, or shelters, or sending food to those in need, or providing disaster relief, or getting involved with counseling or drug and alcohol abuse programs, or even daycare centers and Christian schools. And none of those things are bad things for Christians to do or to be involved in. They all can be considered good, worthy efforts, and there are very good-hearted, godly disciples all around the world who are engaged in these kind of ministries. But they should never take over the church's main mission. And while we might argue that those things help us to fulfill our mission, the point is that we need to be careful that those things don't become our mission. I think I've shared before about a Christian school that I knew about that was around for decades. And it did really, really, really well in teaching the youth of the church and helping to reach out and make disciples of the lost. But somewhere along the road, I don't know, they became more concerned with being a school than being a tool to reach and teach disciples. Sadly, it wasn't too long after that school ceased to exist. Sadder still is the fact that this also happens to churches. It's happening right now to congregations all across our country. So many of the churches have become program-oriented rather than gospel-oriented. And the only one who benefits from that idea is Satan. Satan just loves it when the church abandons its real mission and takes up one of the secondary missions as the church's primary mission. Think about it. No one else in the world can embrace the salvation and discipleship mission of the church except for the church. Meaning that if we don't embrace it, well, it just won't happen. Disciples of Jesus must keep first things first. Our primary mission is the command to make disciples who make disciples. Okay, now we know that that is important, right? So just how do we do it? How can we both individually and congregationally begin to fulfill the command of discipleship? Well, first, we need to be active in reaching out to the lost. And second, we need to be active in helping to mature and equip those who are already disciples of Jesus. Again, first, as disciples of Jesus, we are to seek and save the lost. Now, I think it's fair to say that most disciples of Jesus know and understand that we are to be involved in seeking and saving the lost. But just how many of us are actually engaged in that kind of an effort? Think about it. Personally, when was the last time you cultivated a relationship with an unbeliever and helped them to become Christian? If the answer to that question is, well, it's been a long time, or I've never helped someone become a Christian, well, then it might be helpful to ask yourself, well, why is that the case? The thing is, we all have different reasons why we don't always fulfill the Great Commission like we would like to. Maybe one of the biggest reasons is fear. The fear of rejection, the fear of losing friendship or even our job, the fear of being considered, a religious nut or something, or the fear of handling tough questions, or maybe even the fear of past failures being repeated. Another thing that sometimes gets in the way of fulfilling the Great Commission is apathy. And for everyone, it seems, again, to be something different. Some people might be apathetic because they're too busy or distracted by other things, or it's not that they don't care about the lost. It's just that they're too caught up in other things to get around to helping the cause of Christ. For others, it might just be that they really don't believe that the lost are lost. Think about that. There are some Christians who don't believe the lost are lost. Well, they don't believe that. It's just the sad truth of this is that there's a certain population among Christians that think that, well, you know, being a good person is all that you need to be in order to be able to get into heaven. Without being a Christian, just so long as they were good. In other words, they think that it just doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you believe in something and were a good person. But God doesn't say that anywhere in His Word. As a matter of fact, you can't do enough good to get into heaven. You can only get in by Jesus Christ. His one and only Son Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 6 that I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only way to be saved. And this is something that his disciples preached and taught from day one, just like Peter did over in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, when he told the crowds there that salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven and given to men by which we must be saved. And just in case there's any doubt, that name is Jesus. So what are we to do? Well, with God's help, we can overcome our fears and our apathy. With God's help, we can become more single-minded and convicted that the lost are really lost and that Jesus is the only one who saves. And one of the best ways that we can get God's help in dealing with the things that keep us from fulfilling the Great Commission is through prayer. Prayer. For example, we can pray for the salvation of lost people, making sure that we mention them by name, actually make a list and mention them by name. And we can also pray that the things that we say and do are a holy and sincere testimony for Christ that will help encourage them to come to Christ. Remember, Jesus told his disciples in Matthew chapter 5 and verses 13 through 16 that you are the salt of the earth and that you are the light of the world. So let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. We can also pray for opportunities to share our faith. And that was something that the Apostle Paul prayed for and even asked others to pray for too. Like he wrote in Colossians chapter 4 and verses 2 through 4, when he told the Christians there to devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. And so we can and should always pray for those who are actively engaged in seeking and saving the lost, whether it's for a missionary or a preacher or a teacher or a brother and sister in Christ who's trying to reach out with the gospel. We need to pray for them. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9 and verses 37 and 38 that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Point is, if we are truly going to be active in reaching out to the lost, it's going to start with prayer. Okay. Second, as disciples of Jesus, we have to help new disciples grow and multiply. Again, the first part of being engaged in the command of discipleship is trying to bring others to Christ. But the second part is helping those new disciples and some not so new disciples to grow and to multiply. But again, there seems to be some kind of a fault, if you will, in the thinking of the churches across our country, because somewhere, somehow, far too many Christians have mistakenly thought that the mission and goal of discipleship was simply to bring people to a decision for Christ. In other words, so many people, so many congregations, so many disciples have put all kinds of efforts into people and programs and paraphernalia to help the lost to believe, repent, and confess their faith and be baptized into Christ, but then they move on to the next believer. But that's not right. You can't leave a new disciple on their own to find their way in Christ. Think about it. It would be like being a couple who loves to bring children into the world, but who doesn't like to parent them. Remember, the second part of the Great Commission is teaching them to observe all that I, Jesus, have commanded you. The point is, leaving a new spiritual baby to raise itself is just as illogical as leaving a new physical baby to raise itself. It just doesn't work out so well. And that means that those who help to bring a physical or spiritual baby into existence has a responsibility to provide for them and to guide them. It just makes sense. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Colossians and Thessalonians and Ephesians, reminding them all to imitate him just like he imitated Christ. And he did that not only by doing and saying things like a Christian should, but Paul would often take others with him when he went out to teach and to preach and to minister to others. For example, on one of Paul's missionary journeys, he took Timothy along with him to train him in ministry. And then when Timothy was ready, Paul sent him off to minister on his own. And there in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul reminded Timothy of this principle of discipleship in verses 1 and 2, when he wrote to him saying, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others." In other words, Paul was saying, what I taught to you, you need to teach to others and teach them to do the same. And when that happens, both the individual and the Lord's church grows and multiplies. Just think what would happen if every disciple follow this pattern. The entire world could come to Christ in no time flat. The thing is, we have to remember that the goal is not just to have more converts to Christianity. The goal is to make disciples who in turn make disciples, who in turn make disciples, and make disciples, and so on and so on, you see? And that way the commission is carried on from one spiritual generation to another spiritual generation to another until Christ comes back again. Okay, so how can each of us begin to be engaged in the discipling and mentoring process? Well, let's first understand that no one is too young or too old of a Christian to be mentored by someone or to mentor someone else. Think about it. Every disciple needs three kinds of relationships in their life. We each need someone who will mentor us and challenge us. And we each need someone who can come alongside us and encourage us. And we each need someone that we can pour our life into and do for them what our mentor and encourager has done for us. And so if you aren't currently being mentored or mentoring someone, ask God to lead you to someone who is older or more mature in Christ who can mentor you. And also ask him to lead you to someone who is younger or more inexperienced in Christ than you so that you can be a mentor to them. And once you find a mentor and someone to mentor, well, you need to begin spending time together, to share your life together, to encourage each other, to challenge each other in the principles of discipleship, to pray together and hold each other accountable to grow in obedience to the Lord. Disciples of Jesus must understand and obey the command of discipleship. And so the challenge to all of us as disciples of Jesus is to prepare ourselves and engage ourselves in the mission of Jesus. The mission of making disciples who make disciples. And if you're not a disciple of Jesus yet, you can be. By simply believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that upon your trust in him, to turn to him in repentance, confessing him as Lord and Savior, and then committing yourself to him by being immersed in the watery grave for the forgiveness of your sins. And then rising up out of the water, well, you're born again. And you continue to walk for Jesus, with Jesus, living your life for Jesus until he comes back again or you go to be with him. And for those of us who are already his disciples, for those of us who are already Christians, well, may we begin or continue to follow the command of Jesus to disciple others. Again, if anyone has the need to share or to seek prayer or to become a Christian for the very first time, I would like to encourage you to message us through Facebook or YouTube, or you can email me directly at minister@ovchurch.org. Again, we want to encourage you to do that. Let's pray. Most Holy Father, we do so thank you for this day. We thank you for the mission that you have given us all to be disciples who go out and make disciples, Father. And Father, we pray that you will bless us as we do our best to be your disciple and to disciple others. Father, we thank you for your mission, and we pray that you help us to fulfill that commission. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, we want to thank you for making us a part of your Lord's Day and pray that you will worship with us the next time we meet here in Orangevale, Sunday mornings at 9 at our building. Of course, we understand that that might not be possible for some people, and so we do hope that you'll continue to assemble with us online Sunday mornings at 11 here on Facebook and YouTube. Thank you, and God bless.